Hi, you're listening to another sermon from Deep Creek Anglican Church.
After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, 'Peace to this house.' If someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them. If not, it will return to you. Stay there, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is offered to you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But when you enter a town and are not welcomed, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town we wipe from our feet as a warning to you. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be lifted to the heavens? No, you will go down to Hades. Whoever listens to you, listens to me. Whoever rejects you, rejects me. But whoever rejects me, rejects him who sent me." The 72 returned with joy and said, "Lord, even the demons submit to us in their name." He replied, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." At that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows who the Son is except the Father, and no one knows who the Father is except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." Then he returned to his disciples and said privately, "Blessed are the eyes that see what you see, for I tell you that many prophets and kings wanted to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it." This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, welcome. If you're visiting us, my name's Randall, and I'm on the ministry team here at Deep Creek. I wonder, do you ever get distracted? Knowing chuckles, does anyone not get distracted? I find that I'll walk up sometimes at church, I'll walk up to the auditorium and completely forget what I walked up here for, do something else. 2 hours later, I'll walk down to the office and remember what I walked up here for, walk up, get distracted, and repeat the process a few times. So that's how I spend my week every week. How do you spend yours? I wonder if you get distracted in your weeks. My experience is that the things of life continually conspire to get in the way of the most important things in life. The things that are allowed get in the ways of the things that are important, but quiet. As Christians, we can get really distracted from who Jesus calls us to be and what Jesus calls us to do. His commission, go make disciples. Yep. There's lots of stuff to do, Jesus. I'm kind of busy. I'm not distracted. I'll get to it. Just give me the disciples and yes. We get distracted. As Christians, we easily get distracted. Jesus says just before this passage in Luke, and if you've got your Bibles, I'd love you to open up your Bibles. We're looking at Luke 10. So just before Luke 10, he's been talking to his disciples about the cost of following him. Said that they're going to have to give up everything. Leave behind all your distractions. No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. So he said, you need this kind of forward-looking kingdom of God commitment. And now he's addressing the 72 and he's about to send them out. As a church, when we consider this idea of distraction and how there's so much to do in this world and so many priorities, one of the reasons we really emphasize walking with the Spirit and being in tune with the Spirit and listening to God is because we don't want you listening to the things and the noise of this world. We want you listening to God and being directed by Him into the mission of God. And so here we see a bunch of things that Jesus tells us to do and a bunch of things that Jesus tells us not to do. So we have a to-do list from Jesus, and if you want to look at the passage with me, he says, he sends them out, two by two, so go out, two by two. Where does he send them? He sends them, and this caught my eye for the first time, I feel like, this week. He sends them to the places that he was about to go. So go the places that I'm about to go in order to prepare the way. He tells them that the harvest is plentiful in those places, but workers are few. So pray, ask the Lord of the harvest. So pray, do this, pray. Then he tells them to heal. Heal the sick in the towns that you are entered. Eat what is offered with you. Receive the hospitality of others. Stay, eat and drink. Declare that the kingdom of God has come near when people are healed. Declare peace when you enter a house. Declare peace. I wonder if you thought of that, that when you enter someone's house as a Christian, that you actually have something to bring. And that something to bring is the peace of God. And that's something that you actually get to declare in that space. That our words have power and authority. And when we speak peace into our household, and other cultures will do that. Peace be with you. They'll use that as their greeting. Maybe we should use that as our greeting. When we enter a house, offer peace to them. So do this. Declare, offer peace, declare the kingdom. Leave. When the time comes, leave. And towards the end, it's don't sell. We'll get to the don'ts in a second. Rejoice where your name is written. That is, he sent them out right at the end of this passage, looking at verses 22 to 24. Rejoice. Rejoice in the salvation that you have. Rejoice in it. The context of going out and fulfilling Jesus' mission is this context of we have such a great salvation. We have such a great Savior. We have such a great God. We have such a great message that the world needs to hear. So do go out and rejoice where your name is written. And a whole bunch of don'ts that we get in this passage. Don't take provisions. Hang on, we're going on a journey, Jesus. We're going not to the town we're already in. We're going to the town you don't even know about to prepare the way. Shouldn't we take provisions? No, don't take provisions. Because I've already put someone in this town who will be your provider. Greet no one on the road. Don't greet people on the road. What is this? Don't get distracted by the things on the road that are on the way to where I want you to go. And it's so easy to get distracted by things on the way, isn't it? So don't get distracted by things on the way. Don't move from house to house. Once you find the house where you're invited in, stay at that house. That is, don't busy yourself around doing so many things. Once you find where I want you, be there, because that's where I want you. Don't go looking for somewhere else. Be there where I want you. And this one, it's an interesting one. Don't rejoice in your authority. Don't rejoice that the demons submit to you. Don't rejoice in what you have. Rejoice where? Rejoice that your name is written in heaven. Get your rejoicing in the right place. So Jesus has given them a whole bunch of to-dos, a whole bunch of things to not do. These disciples have heard a message that kings and prophets longed to hear. They're part of a kingdom that the kings and the prophets longed to see in action. And now they have this opportunity to declare to go. To go where? It's to go where Jesus is going. We get to go, we are sent, where Jesus is going. So if Jesus calls us to go into a place, calls us into a community, he's already prepared by his Holy Spirit, people in this community, people in our connections. And when we want to think about it in our context, in your workplace, Jesus has already prepared people where you are going because he is wanting to go there. In your school, in your university, in your family, Jesus has already prepared people because he is wanting to go there. Go where Jesus is going. And who do we look for? It says to look for the person of peace. And so as we're rethinking evangelism, I want us to think on this concept today of the person of peace and what it looks like for us to be a people that seek out the people of peace in the places that we go. Because the people of peace are the people that God has prepared for us to bring good news to. Now, when we think of people of peace, we think of often, I think, the people that want to receive hospitality from us. So I'll go out and I'll find people that want to come to my house and eat. But here the message is different. They've gone out with no provisions and they're finding people that actually want to invite them in to have food at their house. So we're looking for the person of peace to do this work of evangelism, bringing the message of Jesus. It's not that we need to work out and suddenly get the 10 people to come to dinner at our house. It's that we need to find someone that likes us enough to wanting to invite us over. And when they invite us over, then we see them as the person of peace. It's interesting, isn't it? See, the hospitality that we offer people is healing, is God's peace. Actually, the hospitality that they offer us is an open home and an open heart ready to receive. So the person of peace is someone in a town that God has prepared to receive us as his messenger, to receive his message and then join in on his mission. When you think of a person of peace, they're often someone that has a bit of credibility amongst people. They're not necessarily a leader, but if they organize a party, people come along to it. That's a person of peace. We see examples in Scripture of the person of peace as a strategy that Jesus used all the time. The woman at the well, Jesus talked with her, an unlikely person that he would talk with, had a great conversation with her, and told her a bunch of stuff about her life. And she went back to her town and said, come and meet someone that told me everything about myself. She was the person of peace there that opened the way to her network of people to invite them to hear the message of Jesus. So in evangelism, it's not about us going to every house. It's about us looking for the people who God has prepared, people of peace that want to hear the message that we have to share. So how do we identify a person of peace? A person of peace is open to receiving you. Say someone doesn't seem to really like you. Don't push the barrow. Obviously, God's not opened a door. That's okay. See, the person of peace is the doorway to their network, that through their network, the gospel of the kingdom would be spread. And we're called to find those people who are hospitable, helpful, friendly. And below the surface, there are often people that have spiritual questions that are seeking answers. They're not always the people that we expect, but they're the people that God has prepared. And I wonder if you're thinking about your friends and family, who might fit this kind of person of peace model. When I came into this area, was really excited because someone that I know lives in this area. And I thought, well, God, it would be fantastic if they became a Christian, because I know the kind of person they are. They're really well connected to people. People want to be with them. People want some of what they've got. When they organize something, people come along. And so I've been talking to God about it over the years and said, look, God, this would be a good person. But the people of peace aren't always the people that we expect. Who would have expected that Jesus would go to the Gerasene demoniac, see him set free, and as a result, be someone that is a massive example to the community of what the kingdom can do. Who would have thought the authority displayed in such a way? We see this example with Levi, the tax collector, Zacchaeus. We see Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. We see Lydia, the collector of fine purple cloth. She was well known. And when the disciples, so this is not just something that Jesus did, when the disciples went to her, they connected with her. And she immediately connected them in with her wealth and her network and enabled them in Philippi to bring the good news to Philippi. She was the person of peace that was asking when the disciples approached her, asking spiritual questions. They provided some of the answers to those spiritual questions, led her to Jesus, and she became the catalyst for a church in Philippi. And so this model we see through Scripture. And so we are called, and I want to issue us a challenge and be really practical this morning. We are called to pray for people of peace to be revealed for us, to pray and find for people of peace. And so I would love if you can get your phone out or whatever you put your reminders in, whatever helps you remember to do things, if it's in your diary or your notebook, if it's your phone, get it out. And I would like you to put in a repeating reminder at 10:02, or just put it in for tomorrow. Just start with tomorrow. 10:02 a.m. so you can remember Luke 10:02 a.m. Pray for people of peace. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Now, we're one of them. We're a worker in God's harvest field. We're a worker that gets to bring good news. And so as you got your phone out, I would like you to just pray and ask God, is there a person of peace that's in front of you? And so I'm going to give you a minute. And I'm going to pray for us as we do that. And Lord, we know lots of people. We're connected to lots of networks. We may be the people of peace that you're wanting to enable for someone else. But who are the people of peace for us? And just as you're reminded, you might like to write some names down. If you're struggling to find names, who are the people that you know who really need God in their life, who are far from God in the places that you go? Who are those people? Who are the people that really like you, that you're not trying to make like you, that like you, that start with them? So hopefully you've got a name there, and if you're using your phone in the next couple of minutes, I won't stare at you, because I want you to put this reminder in to pray for workers for the harvest, to seek them. So how do you test out if someone's a person of peace? Did they receive you openly in their life, knowing that you're a follower of Jesus? Oh, you're a Christian. I can't be friends with you. Not a person of peace. Do they know that you're a Christian and go, hey, come over for dinner. I'd like to hear more about your life. Do they want to hear more about your story? They're probably a person of peace. Are they open to spiritual conversations? This is what I've been learning at church. This is part of my faith journey. As you share that, are they open to that? Or are they closed? If they're closed, they're probably not a person of peace. Are they willing to look at the scriptures? Are they curious about spiritual things? Maybe is their home a hub of activity? Do you see people gather around them? Or are they kind of a loner? They might not be a person of peace if they're a loner that doesn't like people. Do they have the ability to introduce new people in their sphere of influence to God? Maybe they're a person of peace. Do they have a natural ability to include people and bring people and organize events? Maybe they're a person of peace. If God just really lay them on your heart, maybe they're a person of peace. As you put this reminder in, what I'd like to challenge you to do is, over the coming month, I would like you to pray for these people each day. But I don't want you to just pray for these people each day, I would like to challenge you to share a little bit about Jesus with these people. I would like you to challenge you to have some spiritual conversations with these people. So, Randall, what do I do? What do I do with these people? Well, let me give you a few suggestions. Figure out how you can declare peace in that relationship. Figure out a language. If it's not part of your language, maybe because it's in Scripture, God's calling that declaration of peace to be part of your language and your engagement with people. God bless you is a way sometimes people do that. I just speak God's peace on you. Things that seem unnatural to us can become natural as we make that part of who we are. And if it's in Scripture, then it's called to be part of who we are. We just need to figure out how to authentically do it as us in this world. So declare peace. Pray for them. Tell them God's near and then prove it by praying for them. Pray for them. And you know, when you pray for them, it doesn't always have to be this significant, oh, they had a broken leg and it was healed. No, if someone's got an emotional issue, some of the most significant answers to prayer I see are in just asking God to quiet emotions, heal emotions. Pray for them. And then declare that the kingdom of God has come near to you. God has done this in you. Pray for them. And then tell them. Tell them about your story. Tell them about your faith. Tell them about your life. Talk about how Jesus is part of that. Figure out how you, as you, can present the gospel as the gospel in a way that is authentic to who you are, but also authentic to the truth, so that actually sharing about Jesus, sharing about this message that we have is not awkward. And if you want me to run a seminar on doing that, I would love to, because it's something we could easily spend a couple of hours getting really practical. But I want you to think through this. Why is the good news good news? Why do I believe it? How does it fit into my story? How is it good news for their story? So as you're praying for these people through this month, how is this good news for them? What is the good news that they hear, need to hear, that I could share with them? Here's an interesting option. Do you know 61% of those in their 20s would read the Bible with you but not go to church? This is stats that I've heard, and I've heard from lots of people how fruitful it's actually been as they've explored it. 43% of those in their 30 plus would read the Bible with you but not go to the church. So here's a challenge. You can say to them, my pastor said that I need to read the Bible with someone. Would you read the Bible with me? It's really awkward, but would you? You could do that. I'm happy to be the scapegoat. And do you know why that's going to be significant for them? Because as you read Scripture and go, and here's a bunch of questions you could ask. What strikes you about this passage? And ask them. And they'll often have something to say. What strikes them about the passage? What don't you understand here? What's your best guess at an answer? How's this passage encouraging to you to change your attitudes and to change your actions? As you have these conversations with people, you know what? Those conversations are going to be the most real conversations that most people have had in their life in the previous month. As you talk about life and Scripture, and I encourage you to read through your Gospels with people, as you talk about who Jesus is, why that's significant, you are going to have some of the most significant conversations with people that they are having at that point in time. And as you invite Jesus into that, as you share of God's Word in that space, they are going to see that God's Word is alive and active, real and true. So an unusual evangelistic strategy that seems to be working in this world. Why? Because people aren't reading the Bible, but they're actually interested because they've never read it. My brother, who would firmly call himself atheist, has read parts of the Bible with me because it's interesting. Now, who's it up to convert people? Not me. It's up to God. But what's my job? Go, test the waters, find the people of peace. Do the work of evangelism and see the fruit that God produces. So an idea of what you could do with them. The real journey, as we talked about last week, is this messy journey of someone coming to faith. Now, say you have a conversation with someone and they say, I don't actually want to talk about that. That's okay. You've planted a seed. dust off your feet, and move on. So how can we do this? How do we deal with this rejection? I find it helpful to think, well, you know, when people have answers to us in terms of our evangelism, it's either going to be, I'm already a Christian, great. No, not interested, maybe, or yes. But when they're rejecting me, when they're saying no, maybe, because they're being polite, but they mean no, when they're rejecting me, they're not actually rejecting me, they're actually rejecting Jesus. So if you look at your Bible and look at Luke 10, 16, it says this, whoever listens to you, listens to me. Whoever rejects you, rejects me. But whoever rejects me, rejects him who sent me. So when people reject us as we go to them as messengers hoping to bring good news, they're not really rejecting us. They're rejecting who we represent. Now, we can get all caught up in the fact that I really want them to become a Christian and God, this should be your plan. But actually, Jesus calls us to not get distracted, to actually move back on the road, find the people that like you. And if they find... It's so much easier when you find the people that like you. Now in life, I don't know about your friendship list and how much capacity it has, but if it's like mine, you probably don't have a huge amount of capacity left for extra people. So what do you do with all the people that are on the list that you're kind of seeking to maintain friendships with? Well, that's great, but I like the 80-20 rule. Invest 80% of your time where God is producing fruit and 20% where he's not. Be willing to wear the cost of leaving friendships behind or not prioritizing them because Jesus is saying, prioritize these ones. Why is that? Because if we hold God's kingdom vision, his vision for seeing this world renewed and transformed and hearing that there would be no places left that haven't heard the message of the good news, then we need to go to the place where there is favor. And step back from the places where there isn't favor, praying and weeping and trusting that God will bring someone else there, that he'll raise up workers that have the favor to see that transformation, to see his gospel go forward. So rejection's difficult because we experience it, but when they're receiving us, they're receiving Jesus, and when they're rejecting us, they're rejecting Jesus. So what if they become a Christian? Oh no, find Randall, find Megan, find someone that really knows their stuff, and then they can train them up. No, actually, if they become a Christian, then they're your person of peace. God's put you there as someone that can disciple them. Keep reading the Bible with them, pray with them, teach them until that time when you know that it's time to move on from that house and move to another. Because God wants to use each of us. It's not that he uses those that lead up front on Sunday. Actually, we're equippers. Equippers of you to do the work of the harvest that we would see the harvest come. And so when we're thinking about evangelism, we're no longer thinking, how can I get the message out in 20 different ways to 20 different people? We're looking for the person of peace. How can I seek that person out? Use that favor that God has given me because they already like me. Enjoy their hospitality and just share in that moment with a little bit of boldness about who Jesus is. Maybe read your Bible with them because your pastor said you should read your Bible with someone. We have great news to share. I think we sometimes get distracted. The news of the gospel is news that the world needs to hear. I think we sometimes get distracted from that. The things, the worries, the concerns, the burdens of life grow up around us and they strangle us. But you want to experience the most amount of joy, the most amount of freedom in life. Where you're going to experience it is when you're on mission with Jesus, seeking his people of peace, bringing his message, and seeking others to do the same. We have a message to share that the world is waiting to hear. We have a message to share that God has prepared people to hear. So let's be a people that look out, that are led by the Spirit to the people of peace, that we would see the world transformed, that we would reach our communities, that we would receive breakthrough where we felt like we've hit walls. So let me pray for that as we as a church seek to be an outward-looking church, reaching the community with fresh heart and fresh vision. Lord, we speak breakthrough over our understanding and our hearts, Lord. Where there's been disappointment, where the things of life have grown up and distracted, we pray, Lord, that you will bring us breakthrough in the name of Jesus. Jesus, we want to honor you as our Savior and our King, and we want to ask your forgiveness for where we've not prioritized your mission, where we haven't really caught it. And so, Lord, we ask that you, as we spend time with you, disciple us in being your disciples to be sent, Lord. Help us to recognize the times we're in, the opportunities you offer, and help us to pursue them with courage and boldness. Give us breakthrough, Lord, in the communities and the places and the people we know, that we would connect with these people at peace and that we would see your kingdom come. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.